Good Monday morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Got Joshua Smith in the studio with us, one of the co-founders of the Little Apple Comic Expo, also the news editor for the Chapman News Times, and what else do you do so much? A Fort Riley veteran? Iraqi war veteran?
I'm kind of all over the place, I guess, right now. I like to have my kind of fingers in every pie if I can.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I like being involved. There you go.
Well, one thing we were talking over break, and I think it's something that's very true historically when it comes to the comic book fandom, if you will, and the military. And there's a huge percentage of soldiers who are also in the fandom, if you will, historically. Back in World War II, Korea War, the United States government would actually ship comic books to soldiers as a thing.
Definitely. I've told people before that the Venn diagram of soldiers and comic book fans is almost a circle. It really is. There's so much overlap there. When I was, like I was telling you during the break, when I was deployed my first time, I actually was sponsored by there was this group that basically sent books to soldiers. And since they knew I was a comic book fan, they kind of linked up with a bunch of comic book shops in Baltimore. And they sent me hundreds of comic books to then just kind of disseminate out through the rest of my unit. And so about once a month, I was basically Santa Claus going around handing out these giant stacks of 200, 300 comic books to different units to just, I mean, when you're, like I said, when I was a convoy gunner, when you're on that drive, there are long times where we'll have to stop because it was something in the road that they want to investigate. And what are you going to do? You know, you're bored.
How long would you have to wait sometimes?
If they confirmed that there was something like an explosive in the road, until the explosive ordnance disposal guys would show up to blow it up. So, I mean, there would be days where we would have to stop a convoy in the middle of the road, which I know was a massive inconvenience to all the wonderful, you know, Baghdadi citizens that just wanted to get around and get to work. And we're now clogging up their highway. But we would have to just stop there and wait, and sometimes be 3-4 hours for somebody could come out and every
like the Hurt Locker people, like the Hurt Locker movie, like the same sort of people.
And I'm going to tell you that movie. I love that movie so much because it shows kind of the banality of it sometimes of the war, but at the same time, I hate it because those EOD guys, those explosive ordnance those guys, they don't pick those bombs up; they just blow them up. If they find one, their whole job is to stick a smaller bomb underneath of it and then blow it up.
Are they still wearing the suits?
Oh, yeah. They're still wearing the suits, but they're not out there cutting wires. They just go out and kind of stick another explosive underneath of it and then say, okay, everybody back up a safe distance, and then they blow it up. So, which is what you had to wait for. But then they were done. We move on forward.
You were telling me over break that you were actually looking through some of those old books that you got when you were in the military, and one of them had some sand still in it from Iraq.
It was actually a pretty neat experience. I was digging in some of my graphic novels that I have up on my shelf, just looking for something to read the other day, and I pulled out a copy of Super Spy by Matt Kent, which is an amazing graphic novel published by, I think, IDW. But anyway, I pulled it off the shelf and I just opened it up to flip through it and sand fell out of it. And just the same filthy kind of like it has a smell to it. The sand there, like you can it smells vaguely like oil because we were traveling to oil refineries a lot. It just made me chuckle because I realized I hadn't read it in almost 10 years since the last time I was deployed. So I took a picture of it and I tweeted it to the author, and he was so impressed he actually sent me a sketch, which made me it just arrived in the mail. Made me really happy. I guess he loved seeing that one of his books had made it all the way around the world and back. And in fact, it's one of only two comics I took with me on both deployments.
And you were telling me that it was a part of a bigger program. You said the name of the program during the break, but I couldn't remember.
I'm not sure what I said. Sorry. The soldiers, when the books were being sent to us?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
Do we just blank? Maybe we'll remember it after the next
one. Yeah, it's very possible.
But you know, when it comes to, some of the things we've been covering, and when we had that caller last week call in and, you know, ask, well, you're in the military when it comes to their opinions on things. When it comes to these sort of conversations and things, and with your military experience, what is kind of the viewpoint? There's so much armchair quarterbacking going on, especially when it comes to like going back and maybe talking about the second Iraqi war and some of the stuff that you've seen. You were actually there.
I was.
Yeah. So what's kind of your thoughts when you hear about some of the armchair quarterbacking that can go on from time to time?
It drives me nuts, if I'm being honest. It was a difficult time in my youth. It was hard being over there, being separated from family and stuff. And to hear people that either weren't involved or every war is a little different. Like gentlemen that maybe served in the first Iraq war, the one in the 90s, you know, Desert or Kuwaiti war. Everybody's experience is different. And
just real quick, want to pause you just real quick. I don't mean this to belittle that caller's interest in wanting to hear from military folks. I mean, I really appreciate that caller calling in last week, actually, because that did give me the idea to bring in some of the folks that I know who were in the military to go ahead and bring them on the show. So I do want to thank that caller for bringing this topic up, because I probably wouldn't have thought of having you in if he didn't say anything. But sorry, continue.
Oh, no problem. But yeah, it's different for everyone. Here's a story I have. Actually, this is fairly recent. My wife and I, when we moved, changed houses here in Manhattan, not about a year and a half ago. There was an old man across the street that was watching me move in, and he saw my veteran tag on my car, because I have a vet tag. And he just yelled across the street, "What war?" And just that was it. What war? And my immediate response, just because I'm bit of a smart butt quite frequently, I was like, the one they're going to forget in 10 years. That was just what came out of my mouth without thinking about it. And he came over, shook my hand, said, "They forget about all of them eventually, son." And that was just, and then he had a Korea hat on. So obviously that was his. And that hit me right there. I mean, but there's still that camaraderie. He was a really great, he's a great neighbor. But that's just kind of the perspective I have on all of it. I don't know much about his war. He doesn't know much about mine. But we do know that we share that bond in some way. So
That is powerful.
Profound. It hit me. I actually had to go in and sit down for a minute. My wife asked what was going on. I was like, I'm having a bit of a moment. Just give me a second here.
Well, you know, with that, just real quick, and I promise we will talk about Captain America.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I keep teasing that we're going to go over some things about Captain America, but just real quick, you know, with that in mind, you know, now that I have a person with military experience in the studio, when it comes to some of these issues that we're hearing about right now, when it comes to the idea of arming teachers, hardening schools, and those sort of things, what are your thoughts on those?
Okay, I'm all over the board on it.
You got to be careful. Your news that, you know, you're...
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, kind of like me, you got to be a little careful.
Got to be a little careful with it. I'm all over the board, if I'm being honest. I mean, I am a gun owner. I have a pistol of my own at home. But at the same time, I don't want to think about them in schools. The second I was reading about the possibility of arming teachers in schools and, in fact, requiring a teacher to be armed in the school, in my mind, I was like, well, I guess it's time to start homeschooling, because I cannot feel comfortable knowing that there are armed individuals that are supposed to be in school. A school resource officer, I get that, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. I really do. But at the same time, teachers are teachers. They're there to teach. They're there to defend from bullying. They're there to defend from, a bad day. But an armed gunman, that's not what a teacher is there for. And in fact, when my first major at K-State was education, and as a veteran, I guess I would have been the perfect candidate for someone to be an armed individual in a classroom, but I wouldn't have been. I couldn't imagine having a gun in a school. But that's just me. That's right. Just how
and you were a gunner in Iraq.
Exactly. And I was a convoy gunner in Iraq. I have plenty of experience with firearms, and I still do not want to see them in a school if I don't have to. So, and I know that's not the most popular opinion with some people, but at the same time, I know as a father, I'm more comfortable knowing that my child is there to learn, and that's all the teacher's primary prerogative is.
And how old is your kid? Just one?
I have two. I have a five-year-old who is in preschool, and I have a seven-year-old who goes to school at Northview right over here near the broadcast station.
Oh, very good. Very good. and you being a comic book dad, like you're going to be, you'll always be the cool dad.
I do admit to a little bit of using my children as billboards leading into the convention. I always make sure about 2 days a week they have Little Apple Comic Expo t-shirts on to wear into school so that when the other kids say, oh, what's that? They say, oh, my mommy and my daddy own a comic book convention.
There you go. That works. You're feeding them.
Exactly.
You know, it's give and take.
Exactly. It's give
and take. Let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour, and let's talk some Captain America to close things out.
Great.
Of the show. More In Focus coming up.